Dear colleagues, I am very privileged to give this presentation about wheat land races grown in Turkey. And this is, first of all, I'd like to introduce our International Winter Wheat Improvement Program, which is a partnership program between the Turkey Ministry of Food and Agriculture, Livestock, CIMET and DECARDA. And in fact, our main goal is to develop germplasm for this region of Central and West Asia. And we also facilitate a global winter wheat exchange through our nursery facultative winter wheat observation nursery. We have been working for the last 30 years, essentially 60 varieties released originating from our program and occupy more than 2 million hectares of area in the region. Now, very briefly, Turkey wheat production. Colleagues, Turkey very diverse. There are all kinds of regions, European part, high rainfall, central part, more dry, mountains, high rainfall, southern Mediterranean part. But the good tendency, area is decreasing, yield is increasing. I think this is a result of especially the last 6-7 years results of the policies and also incentives for the farmers to change seeds and varieties. And before going to land race, I'd like to say that majority of the wheat grown in Turkey is modern varieties. So this would be more than 95%. So we are talking in this presentation only about land races which occupy a very small area. Needless to say that Turkey is the origin of wheat is in the southeastern part of Turkey, a fertile crescent, and a lot of evidence that wheat was grown for many years, for thousands of years in the territory of modern Turkey. Land race collections took place in 1920s. The Turkish Republic was established in 1923, and in fact they were asked Russia at that time to come and help to analyze the situation in agriculture, and collection was made by Zhukovsky. 1930, Gök-Köl made collection and characterization book published on all diversity of wheat in Turkey, and that makes very good baseline for us now to compare to what it used to be before modern varieties arrived. And then Harlan made collection in 1940s and 60s. The Turkey wheat land races collections in several gene banks, as you can see, and more than 14,000, including USA, Germany, CIMET, DECARDA. Turkey also now, I think, if you look at the current numbers, they would be number one in holding this in situ collections. Now, what was our main objective when we started this work in 2009? We basically wanted to make inventory of wheat land races. Are they still there? And, I mean, not so many countries still growing wheat land races. What we wanted, we want to see where they are grown, why they are grown. We like to study these land races. We want to collect them. We want to utilize them, the best ones for breeding. Also, we want to improve the land races, give them back to farmers. And eventually, they are deposited in the Turkish National Gene Bank. So, this is a number of collections, provinces where we went and collections made in the course of this 6 years of collection. And in Turkey, there are a total of 81 provinces, so we went and collected 62 provinces. And one collection, total is more than 1,300. One collection is basically one field surveyed and at least 100, around 100 spikes collected to represent that land race taken to Ankara or Konya where we worked. And also, it's collecting is not simple. You have to you don't want to drive and see where the land is. You have to make homework. You have to communicate to people where the possibility of land races. Also, you communicate to local authority and agricultural agencies before you go. Then on the village level, you really have to go and first talk to the village senior before talking to people, and they The also beauty of this work that in addition to collection, we collected a lot of socio-economic information from the farmers who actually grow the land races. To give you some perspective of the germplasm movement, the collection, we took the all diversity into land into hedgerows, and then from hedgerows we selected, not agronomically, but also we selected to maintain all diversity into preliminary yield trial, and then replicated trial, multiplication, and some of the best ones we were evaluating and incorporating into crossing program. So especially the 2012 collection was very big, and there were almost more than 12,000 hedgerows. So when you collect all this diversity, how do you describe this this diversity? So we follow the botanical description, which was used by Vavilov and Vavilov Institute, and based on highly inherited traits, which we believe preserve the identity of the land race. And this would be based on five traits like presence of horns, color, groom color, grain color, and pubescence. And this would be this is only for bread wheat, how this is Latin names of botanical varieties given based on these traits. Now, coming to actual diversity of wheat land races which we collected, these are the botanical varieties of durum collected. Also, there was turgidum, dicocum, monococcum, polonicum, very few, very rare collected. Bread wheat, there is estivum, this maybe dominating land race. This is something like this would be between bread wheat and club wheat, and club wheat as well. So when we compare this simply by botanical variety, number of botanical varieties of what we have now compared to what Georg Köhl described in 1930s, we see a lot of erosion, at least three times less number of botanical varieties which we observed, and one species basically we were not able to find. Now, the diversity, looking at species, so bread wheat is dominating, durum wheat around 25-30%. Number of land races, many land races are mixtures. So this graph shows number of components in the land race, around 300 out of 1300. Only one component, but many of them have two components, three, and several up to 10, 11 components in one land race combining both species and different botanical varieties. So this also shows the purity of the land races. One quarter of them, 100, only one component, and maybe 40% relatively pure, and many of them mixtures. Some of them also mixtures between land race and modern variety. Now I'd like to go region by region and briefly describe what we found in different regions. This is Aegean region, relatively warm. And you see socioeconomic data shows us the average farm size. Close to 5 to 6 hectares. On average in Turkey would be 15-20 hectares. Farmers' age, like to draw your attention, colleagues, very limited education of the farmers. Primary school only, 92% of the farmers who grow land races. And if you look at the literacy rate, maybe 10-15% of them are illiterate. Still, more than 50% wheat planted by hand. Quite a few farmers grow both modern variety and land race. It's not only exclusive land race. 50% of the farmers never change the seed. So they continue growing the same from generation to generation. And also Many of them, when we ask question, are you satisfied with this land race? Majority of them, they are very happy. They say grain is good. This last line is straw quality. Straw quality is good. So they basically very happy with this land race. Black Sea region, the most diverse. In fact, there is very little commercial wheat grown here, but the diversity of land races is the biggest in the Black Sea region, including monococcum, dicoccum, durum, and all other, total 57 land races collected in Black Sea. Central Anatolia, this is a major kind of, you know, wheat producing areas. And this, colleagues, when we talk land races mostly in the mountains. When you have to come to valleys or plateau, this commercial production. When you go to mountains, remote villages, that's where the land races are grown. East Anatolia, this high elevation here. And very little durum, majority is bread wheat grown in this region. Marmara region, very, very few land races. In fact, this European part, there are no land races, only this, only eight land races were found in this region. Mediterranean, 40% of the land races are durum wheat. And in fact, this Mediterranean and east, southeast part of Turkey, a lot of durum wheat is grown here. Again, you see, if you look at educational level of farmers, farm size, there are many things very, very similar, independently on the region. Southeast Anatolia, on average, seven people per household, there are very, very big families, many children. Also, durum wheat dominates in this region. Rare wheat land races, monococcum, dicoccum, polonicum, turgidum. This is where we found them, and we are very, very happy because you read some papers and say, oh, maybe they are in Turkey, maybe they are not. Now we know where they are, and we know the fields, we know coordinates of these fields. We can go and again survey and monitor these land races. Now, summary. All over Turkey, but mostly mountains, they are grown. Despite having access to modern varieties, farmers continue to grow land races primarily because of very good grain quality, tradition, and specific adaptation. Black Sea is a major. Total, we say 249 land races. We assume that land race on the province level is unique. But we know some land races from different provinces, they are the same land races. So we have to make this analysis. My estimate that maybe in total unique land races would be like around 150. Because this number will reduce. Now, we compare land races from the 1930s based on the book by Gökker and Present. You see, some of the land races, I mean, in the first, this is the most frequent land races, 40% of all of them. In the past, they were only 20. Again, it shows erosion. Some of them, they were all over Turkey, and now they are restricted to some regions. Some new land races also appeared, which were not described or mentioned in the 1930 book. So this shows that the evolution and dynamic process of the land races. Also, when we look at the constitution, the composition of these land races, in fact, many of them preserve that constitution, like this primarily bread wheat. This is a mixture of the three with different, you know, frequency, depending on the time. This is primarily durum wheat, karakılçık. Top bash used to be club wheat, still club wheat. So this percentage is changing, but the essence of these land races continues. Now we come to evaluation part, and we looked at many traits. And I'd like to share here a few traits like southern kernel weight, very high in some bread wheat and durum wheat, coleoptile length, yellow rust, colleagues, some of them you see very resistant, major genes, because we compare seedling and edible plant, major genes and edible plant resistant. Yield, if you look at the yield above 3 tons, land races are below commercial modern variety. However, with drought, less than 2 tons or less than 2.5 tons, the land races are much more superior in yield. leaf rust, also several of them resistant with major genes, and less a few of them with edible plant resistance. Very challenging diseases like nematodes and root rots, all these land races resistant to both can be utilized for breeding. Now, wind land race crossing program, and this idea we like to cross to improve both land race and give back to farmer, and we like to improve also modern germplasm. So it goes both ways, and we are crossing land race to land race for the farmer's benefits, and we cross with the modern varieties. And so the conclusions, land races still grow. A couple of provinces left to be surveyed, but this will not change the situation dramatically. There is a huge diversity maintained by farmers in the mountains, and the preference yield stability, very good for home products and tradition. We can argue this is a climate change, you know, exposure makes them very, very fit. We identify with superior land races with very good agronomic traits, which we are crossing. Also, the future work will continue this agronomic evaluation. We like to apply genomic tools, especially to help us define the diversity and the land races, because then now we may probably used all our traditional tools or tools for this description. We need to use genomic to say what is different, what is the same. Association mapping is underway, and our ultimate objective also to establish the core set and develop molecular markers for the traits based on that core set. Detailed study, why is this land races grain quality is so superior that the farmers keep them? Give back to farmers, and of course we are working with the Ministry of Agriculture on the policy to support this land races with the farmers. In fact, simply our survey mission collection already, farmers were very happy that somebody came and talked to them and asked questions, and they say, oh, what we are doing is important, and that was a very satisfying work. I'd like also to acknowledge everybody involved in this work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We don't really have time for questions, but we can talk to you. Okay, one question.
Did you see over a period of time any danger of losing the genetic diversity on the land races, becoming a homogenized population, thereby losing some gene pool? Or it's not a big factor?
Well, we did not compare how many, say, pure land races now compared to 1930. This comparison was not done. Our feeling, and we saw when you go to hedgerows, you can see some of the mixtures. Around maybe 3% of hedgerows, they were F1s. I mean, they were segregating because they were natural crosses. I think that's one source of the variation which we are capturing, which continues this continuous, you know, collection of the land races.
Thank you very much. Okay, we have, thank you.